Blog Talk Radio.
When is these things going to stop? What's going on with the weather? 7:30 p.m. on my time. I hope it's not as rotten weather as in where you're listening as it is mine. But anyway, we got a great show. Well, I don't know about in the United States, they don't seem to be celebrating something called International Women's Day, but they do celebrate it in countries like Russia. And, well, we got Rasputin is the name of this Russian nightclub in Coney Island, New York. And we got owner Marina Levitis and her husband Michael. Now, it could be pronounced Levitis. I will find out. And we're going to talk about the restaurant. We're going to talk about, first, we're going to talk about the International Women's Day, the restaurant, and the food. So, hey, Marina, are you on the air?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Yes, are I'm both? Michael.
Oh, Michael, you're there too.
Of course. I wouldn't miss
it. Yeah, I want to make sure you're both there.
Absolutely. We're husband and wife.
So the first thing I want to ask, because now this is the first time that I heard anything about International Women's Day, and I think because, well, they may be doing some celebrations in the United States, but you really don't hear about it. Why is it, why does Russia do this, and like, are you the only country that does it?
Well, Merle, since it's about the ladies, I'll take that question, okay?
Oh, okay.
It's a major European holiday. It's celebrated in most European countries, but in Russia in particular.
Uh-huh.
It is a combination of Mother's Day and Valentine's Day, but even more than that, it's a holiday for every lady, girl out there. And in Russian society, women are held, were always held in the highest regard, even in the old days, because during the war, when all the men were shipped off to fight, the World War II, the women stayed behind and attained very high positions in government and in business. And since then, there's a special holiday to celebrate all the ladies.
Wow. That happened in the United States, too, and it's and the women are revered.
Of course. I'm not saying that they're not.
No, I'm saying it happened. The United States, the women went off to help also, but, that doesn't happen here, though. I'm glad you're doing something about it.
We'll start the tradition to celebrate all women.
It's international, so it should be worldwide.
So in other words, in Russia there isn't a Mother's Day or Valentine's Day like we celebrate in the United States?
No.
No.
Ah.
All combined into one holiday, March 8th.
That's really great. So it makes it more revered than commercial, like the, what we do here. Everything is, you know,
exactly.
What can you, yeah, well.
Not just for the lovebirds. It's not for the mothers. It's for all the ladies out there.
Uh-huh. Maybe we need to do something about it here. But oh, we'll let you do it. We'll let you bring it from the other countries, and maybe it'll look. It'll get someplace.
It'll so, be our thing at Rasputin. It'll be our thing.
Oh, okay. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
And so now, so how did you decide? Well, let's just go into how you decided to celebrate it at Rasputin.
Well, we do it actually every year, but this year we did it on a grand scale because we had a fashion show, an auction, a dinner and dancing all night long, and then we had a surprise for the ladies after midnight, but that was a separate thing. But every year we always have a party on March 8th. It's always a big celebration. Every woman is handed out a rose, and it's something that makes them feel very special. And we don't miss a year since we've owned Rasputin for the past 5 years. We've been doing it. But this year was so far the most fabulous, glamorous, over-the-top party that we've had.
And it was wonderful. Now, what I'd like you to do, rather than my describing the place, you describe the place to my fans.
Well, Rasputin, it's an unforgettable experience that's rolled in, dining, dancing, and cabaret show into one. It's a place where you come in for a transforming experience where you come at 9 o'clock at night and leave at 3 o'clock in the morning if you can handle all the dancing and the booze. And first there is dancing, then there's a break for a cabaret show for a half hour, and there's more dancing. So you don't have to go hopping from club to club, from bar to bar. You don't have to go see first a Broadway show and then eat somewhere and then dance somewhere in a different place. Everything is all in one place for one affordable price.
So what you're saying is that...
Club. It's really a supper club.
Yeah.
Unlike which New York has not seen lately.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
you're really right. So in other words, things don't begin until 9 p.m.
Correct. We'll start the evening around 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then whoever can survive to 3 in the morning stays to the end.
And do most people survive?
Well, so this way. The Russians stay to the end. Americans tend to leave around 1, 1:30.
Okay.
Too much fast.
So much of an experience in once, but you know, you have to be used to it.
Now, let me ask you a question. In when you came here from Russia, when? What year?
I came here in 1988 and Marina 1989.
Okay, and when you were in Russia, was this a typical nightclub that people would have? Like if they were in Russia?
Not at that time. Because that time we left Soviet Union, so it was not the same. But
mm-hmm.
In modern Russia, they do have these cabarets that are very popular, where you have in one place a show, dining, and dancing. And that's what we took away from modern Moscow and
uh-huh.
what... Because there used to be supper clubs in Manhattan back in the day. But these days, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, well, that's true. I guess like the Copacabana was like the kind of place
right.
that people would go to. Yeah, there really isn't anything like that. And then again... Well, we'll get to the menu in a minute. That's another thing altogether.
Yeah.
But I want to get... So, So basically, now what I saw, that's the club itself. There's no like other rooms and stuff like that, right?
What you saw is this is it.
That's the main floor. That's the floor. Then there's the balcony.
Yeah, but when you were
and
there,
and then downstairs is the bathrooms and the where you can hang your coat, and you'll want to.
And when you were there, we didn't have our cabaret show. We had a fashion show instead.
Yeah.
On regular nights, there is a cabaret show at 11 o'clock that goes on for about a half hour. And the show is on the stage and on the dance floor. It's like Moulin Rouge in Paris.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I understand.
With the
elements
to it.
And so, in other words, now when you get there, in other words, do people like start eating once they get there? Is that the scenario?
Okay. There's no need to go anywhere beforehand to eat or drink, because we offer all that by us.
Okay.
Together with live music, we have a 10-piece band.
Mm-hmm.
We have 5 singers, and they sing. They perform American latest hits, European songs, and of course Russian songs.
Okay, but I understand you also have. Does this go on every single night?
On weekends, Friday.
Just the weekend.
Sunday. Yeah, Friday through Sunday.
So, and what do? During the week, do you have private parties and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, let's say if anyone wants to book a wedding or private party, a corporate party, we open on a weekday. We open to the public, though, on the weekends.
I guess you have probably a lot of bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs there, huh?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to do my son's
bar mitzvah. Celebrate, I'll tell you.
Why? And what I want to add is that we have, because there's nothing like it in the city, we have a lot of Americans coming to us from Manhattan, from Long Island, from Queens, from New Jersey, to get that kind of experience.
Oh, sure. That's what I was going to ask you in terms of the clientele.
Yeah.
Because you're in a Russian neighborhood.
Yes, we are. We're next to Brighton Beach, a few blocks away from Brighton Beach.
So, do you tend to get what would you say percentage wise of, I don't want to say Americans, like non-Russian. Let's just say non-Russian.
I would say demographics are 50-50.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And do you find, like, in terms... Now, so in that whole area, there's no other place like this, right?
I mean, there are other Russian restaurants, but, you know, we're legendary. Let's put it this way. And a show.
Right.
We're known for our live music and for our show. But, of course, there are other Russian restaurants in the area.
Oh, I don't mean Russian restaurants. I mean Russian restaurants that also do shows.
I don't want to boast, but we're...
Oh, no, no. The reason I'm asking is I'm wondering if this is typical of what Russian restaurants do.
I mean, there are a few other Russian restaurants that also put on some kind of a show.
Okay.
But we're known to do it on a grand scale, let's put it this way.
Oh, okay. No, I was curious. I have to tell you what my experience was. They had opened up this Russian restaurant in Queens, in Richmond Hill. And this was going back at least 20 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And as a journalist, I was invited for their opening. And they said, oh, bring friends, family, whatever. So we had a table of people. I get there, and we sit down at the table, and there's food on the table. There's all this food sitting on the table. I go, oh, great. And we're eating and whatever. And we thought that was it.
No.
The table gets cleared, and a whole bunch more food comes out.
I know. Unfortunately, that's our curse. In the Russian community, the table has to be full at all times. There cannot be an inch empty on a table without food, without a plate on it. And the food keeps on coming throughout the night.
And the vodka.
That's just our custom. That's how we do it. And vodka, of course.
And but as a matter of fact, when I went, one of my friends who came from Russia had said to me, when you drink the vodka, don't sip it. He said,
exactly.
Shoot it down. I said,
right.
All right. And I had like 6 shots of vodka, and it didn't bother me in the least because I was eating.
That's right.
So let me go to Marina. I'm going to let her talk a little bit. Marina, how do you feel about owning this restaurant?
It's a different experience. It's very exciting. We have beautiful events all the time. I love special occasions, special events. We just had a party for our daughter. We did a pink princess where everybody was in pink and the whole restaurant was pink. And it was just over the top. So having your own place gives you all this creative opportunities. I can go as crazy as I want to. I could do it before, but not the same, not on that scale.
So in other words, you love the fact that you can do all this kind of elaborate things.
Yes, I love
for us and for our clients.
Yes.
What do you think is some of the most elaborate things that you've done there?
Well, we always have an old Russian New Year's, which is in January, right after everybody else's New Year's. We do the traditional New Year's. We do amazing events like March 8th every single year. We have concerts. We have celebrities all the time. We have European stars, American stars. You know, this is basically a different experience. No other place will offer you a variety. On any given night, you could experience something else. We do everything for our clients just to keep people coming back because in Brooklyn, it's very competitive and you have to.
Yeah. And so when you say, like, when you have these concerts, are these also on the weekends? When you have stars?
Sometimes on Thursdays, we do have stuff. We do have things on Thursdays. It depends. It depends on the star. It depends on their schedule. If somebody's coming in from Moscow, they usually come in for several different nights. They don't want to perform just once, and there is demand for them. So case by case. But, yeah, now we do, we're doing a grand-scale renovation, and we should have a grand reopening sometime in May. We're going to have a huge party, probably 3 or 4 days in a row is going to be a grand reopening so we can accommodate the demand.
So in other words, I should wait to come back in May to really taste the food.
Which absolutely.
You will, for sure. You'll be
I got to tell you, what was humorous, I mean, like, when the food was coming out, I mean, I was upstairs, and the food was coming out, and to me, because I was trying to describe it to one of my friends, and I said, you know, it comes out as almost like when you're going to a Jewish deli. And I was also getting into the fact that, you know, and I got to tell you a quick little story. I was watching one of the Food Network shows, and they were talking about their roots. And one of the chefs found out, she turns to her mother, she says, look at this. I'm 3/4 Italian and 1/4 Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that.
And I thought to myself, wait a minute. Did she say that? And I had to listen to it. Go listen to it a second time and Google it because I thought to myself, that's ridiculous. One has to do with, you know, cuisine and one has to do with religion.
Mm-hmm.
So I found out that's what she said. And so she says, I think I'll cook Italian. And I thought to myself, what if she decided to cook Jewish? What would she cook? It's like people associate something called Jewish food, and it's not. We got it. It's like from other countries, mostly from Europe.
Yeah, and same as Russian cuisine, the modern Russian cuisine is a mix of German, French, Italian, and even Asian. There's no such thing as Russian cuisine these days.
Well, that's interesting because now, from what I was eating, I didn't get as much of the sense of that
Mm-hmm.
But then when I looked on the website to see the food,
yep.
Now how to explain to people? I'm looking on your website. And I'm going, okay. So just to get an idea, what would be the least expensive of the days to go or whatever, and which thing, you know? And I
yep.
think how is it that I forgot which one
Friday
it was.
Friday or Sunday, the prefix menu starts at $75.
Right, okay. So I'm going, I'm looking on the menu, and I'm going, this can't be. It must be. I said, it must be that you're choosing an appetizer.
No.
And I'm looking again, I'm going, I think I better call the PR company or whatever or something. And then when they said no, I said, you got to be kidding.
I know.
It's not like you're getting, you know, some common piece of food. You know, it's not like you're going to a typical bar mitzvah and you're getting, you know, that kind of food, you know, that's American.
You'll be getting probably 20 different dishes in large portions.
Yes.
That's why I have to tell you our business secret, our margins are not, profit margin is not great because we do put out a lot of food out there.
But as I'm looking at it, I'm saying, I have to say, I looked at it, I said, oh, come on, for $75, you can't pass this up. $75, you go to a restaurant, you know, and you don't get not even a quarter of that, and you paid $75 and there's no show.
And plus show and plus
So, you know, I was...
So good to be true, right, Mara?
I have to say, it's just so amazing. It is. I applaud you because it's like a great idea. You know, I'm afraid to do a lot of publicity on it. I don't want everybody to know.
Well, we want people to know.
I will.
What we're trying to do is take our brand, our concept, and expand beyond Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
And eventually we'll take it to Manhattan and then to other big cities. Because I believe this concept is unique and it will work.
Oh, you're certainly right. You're certainly right. Now, I want to get to what a name for the executive chef. Our name is Lovely?
Yeah.
Is it a male or a female?
He's male. He's originally from Ivory Coast, but he was educated in France. Paris.
Okay. I mean, you're
and
looking at the first
past,
name and you can't tell.
Years.
Yeah. So has he, did you basically, now in terms of the food, like just, let's say just the Russian food, the cuisine,
yes.
you kind of said to him, this is what we eat? And then expand on this, or how did that work?
Actually, our chef has been with Rasputin for the past 8 years. So we inherited him when our family bought this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But every year we redesign the menu and add more items, take out less popular items, and come up with new ideas. I mean, we have to go with the times. Like right now, what is very hot out there is Asian food, like seared tuna, like tuna tartare. So we added those items, even though they're not Russian at all.
Right.
We put it on the menu, but we try to make it a little bit stylized in Russian way by adding caviar on it.
By giving huge portions.
Yeah. So every item on our menu is stylized to fit, you know, Russian theme.
Mm-hmm.
So our menu is not really Russian, though. It's fusion. It's fusion between continental, French, Asian, and so on. So it fits every taste bud.
Well, what I want to ask then, just so people get a sense of what is Russian. In other words, what would be, you know, me, I know what is, you know, like, now, my grandparents came from Russia
mm-hmm.
on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they ever spoke Russian. I never heard, you know, anybody speak Russian. Everybody spoke
right.
Yiddish.
Right.
Of course.
Yep.
You know, which was always, you know, like, and especially if they didn't want me to hear anything. They didn't want me to know something. They spoke Yiddish.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, but it's okay. I learned the curses. That's
mm-hmm.
the most important
mm-hmm.
because they're funny. They're translated into funny, and I always thought to myself, who in the world ever came up with these curses?
Yeah.
But anyway, so what I wanted to get into then is what do people think of when they think of Russian food? What would you say are typical of Russian food other than borscht and shav? Those are the two things I remember.
Yep.
Well, we have a lot of smoked fish. That's Scandinavian, but in Russia it's always popular. We have the salmon and herring and all kinds of sturgeons. We do have the caviar, both red and black caviar. We serve it with blini, and that's very popular. We have a lot of truffled stuff added for private parties. We do truffled blini and truffled fries, and, you know, you could customize for private events. We also have a lot of things with mushrooms that are also traditionally in Russia. It was a delicacy to serve things with mushrooms. We have a lot of meats, fishes. They're not typically Russian, but the way the chef makes it and presents it, it has elements of Russian cuisine in it.
And, of course, chicken Kiev. Chicken Kiev is a big
right.
favorite. Beef stroganoff, everybody knows. And believe it or not, even lamb chops, the way we make it with seasoning, it's Russian.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you, when in terms of any spices or herbs or whatever, are you getting anything that's imported? Do you need to get anything imported?
Oh, everything is local.
Oh, okay. So, so basically, you're using, and I have to call it like American ingredients, meaning they're you could get them in the United States.
Exactly.
Okay.
The vodka
okay.
we import. The vodka we import.
I still need to taste the beluga vodka? That's
yep.
the one?
Yes. We use beluga, and
mm-hmm.
we use Russian standards.
Let me ask you a question about the vodka. Does it make a difference? I know there's a potato vodka and a grain vodka.
Yeah.
What do you like better and why?
I personally like grain. That's authentic vodka. It's premium vodka is usually three times distilled, and I think it has less carbohydrates than potato.
It's
probably healthier than the potato vodka.
Is it? Because that's what people think of.
The only time when we use potato vodka
yeah.
is on Passover, when we cannot use grain vodka.
Oh, okay. And do you also like, I mean, do you do things like have vodka that's got flavors in it? Do you use flavored
yeah.
vodka as well?
Yeah, usually cranberry vodka is popular, but most people they mix. You know, we give chasers, we give cranberry juice, orange juice, and people mix.
Right. I noticed something.
But Russians don't mix,
yeah.
but non-Russians mix.
No, girls mix. Guys drink straight up.
Yeah.
One of the things I had noticed, which I thought was very interesting, I'm looking at this thing of a specialty drink that you have. That's your called the Bloody Rasputin.
Yep.
And I think what's most interesting is that you're adding beet juice.
Yes, it's healthy.
Oh, I'm just. But you know, so in other words, are you using tomato juice and beet juice? Because this is fresh tomato.
Both, yes.
So I gotta try
it's
that.
It makes it bloody.
Right. Oh yeah.
And by the way, I want to tell you why we're named after Rasputin.
Go ahead. Yes, please tell me that.
Speaking of bloody Rasputin, Rasputin was a very influential priest, monk by the Tsar's family, and he controlled the Tsar's family from behind the scenes. But he was very decadent. He loved to party, he loved women, and he liked to eat. And eventually, the noblemen around the Tsar got afraid of his influence and tried to kill him. And they tried to kill him numerous times, but poisoning him didn't work. They stabbed him, didn't work. Finally, they drowned him, and that worked. So we are named after Rasputin for that decadence and for that survival,
resilience.
I guess. Resilience.
Yeah. Did they drown him in vodka?
Maybe.
Maybe, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
How can I think he would still be alive today?
Well, when you're eating, so in other words, I just want people to get that this is not like, you know, you go up to a buffet and eat. I'm
no.
correct, right?
No, it's seating only. Everybody has their own table.
And is there like when you're doing this, you know, like is there a minimum amount of people at the table?
No, we can configure tables to people's requests, from party of two to party of 100 or more.
200.
Or 200. I mean, our capacity is 250.
Right.
But a couple can come to us or a large party. I mean, we're known for birthdays. People like to have their large birthdays, 20, 30, 40 people at Rasputin.
Uh-huh. So, in other words, just to get it across, and if I was, like, said, want to go out to dinner, I invite somebody, I said, let's go there, and there's just that person and myself sitting at the table, I'm going to get the same amount of food as if 10 people were at one table.
For a party less than 6 people, we recommend ordering a la carte as opposed to getting a prefix, because prefix could be way too much food for under 6
people. For
2 people.
Yeah. So that's what...
But it's your prerogative. If you want to get prefix for 2 people, that's your choice. I mean, your table may break from all this food on it.
Okay, so in other words, you're recommending that there's a minimum of how many people?
To get a prefix, I would say 6 and more.
Okay, so
and
that's what I... Yeah,
and if a party is 10 people or more, we throw in a bottle of vodka on the house.
Uh-huh. All right, that's why I was looking at this thing saying, my God, 2 people go, how can they eat all this food?
Yeah.
So now
typically,
I understand.
Typically, 2 people, they order a la carte from the menu.
Okay. And, but has anybody ever said, oh, just go ahead, bring on the food?
Sure. Especially if you want to have a tasting of what we have, of different dishes. You want to get a full experience? Sure. Some people order prefix, even for 2 people.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Customers win.
Oh, and I just thought that would be kind of interesting. It, you know, like, the other thought is that, you know, people go to restaurants and they do a tasting, you know, by the chef.
Yes.
You know, and they spend at least $75 on a tasting. I mean, this is also a great way to get a tasting of the food. And then you can say, oh, I tried this. And then when you come back, if you're two people, you know, you order a la carte, and if not, then you have a group of people, and they just and everybody just really goes at it.
Exactly. I mean, in the prefix, we'll give you quite a few cold appetizers, few hot appetizers, and you're gonna have a few entrees.
Uh huh.
We have a real tasting of A to Z of what we have, and we have different, you know, we have different price points. I mean, we have menus from $75 to $165. Obviously,
right.
the more you pay, the more elaborate the menu gets.
So, in other words, what I would say goes, and I know you had it categorized.
Yes.
And on a scale. I guess I don't want to say like the least, because you could wind up spending a lot of money anyway,
mm-hmm.
is to go a la carte. But once you start, the least expensive, I guess, is $75.
Yep.
On a Friday or Sunday. Is that what it was?
Right. Yep. And $100 on a Saturday.
Okay. And it goes up to, what was the high one that you go to?
On a Friday, the highest is $140.
Mm-hmm.
On a Saturday, it's $165.
Okay. And you're getting just not more varieties. You're getting more varieties and more, I guess,
for example, you would get caviar.
Right.
You would get foie gras. You would get lobster bisque, lobster tail. You would get...
Right, in other words, you're getting the higher, the more expensive food.
Exactly. Like instead of chicken, you would get lamb chops. Instead of tilapia, you would get sea bass.
Got it.
And we have four different price points.
Right.
You know, on the Saturday, for example, we have 100, 120, 135, and 165.
Right. And as far as, just to get an idea, so if you're going, you'll get a show, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right? Of the show?
Yes.
Okay. And will the show be just the same?
Yeah, same show. And every year, by the way, we put on a new show. Every year we choreograph new show, and we order our costumes are handmade in St. Petersburg, Russia, in a very famous Mariinsky Theater.
These costumes
cost us a lot of money, but they're worth it.
Uh-huh. Who gets to pick out the costumes? Marina, do you get to say in that?
Well, in some of them, yes. We have a Russian traditional costume that is so beautiful. It has the real fur in it and Swarovski crystals. Even the singers and the dancers wear the boots with crystals. I mean, everything is crystallized, and these are very expensive. They're handmade, impossible to replace. We only get it from one place, and we've been getting it from that place for years. So, our costumes are very unique, especially for traditional Russian numbers, with the traditional Russian singing and dancing. The costumes are just unbelievable. We wouldn't be able to find anything like it here.
Mm. Wow. That's, I got to say, I'm looking forward to...
You got to come out.
Yeah. And so let's go. I want to go back to... talking about the menu. So you must have some like huge kitchen, I guess, right?
Yeah, our kitchen is two floors. It's pretty big.
Oh, it's two floors. Wow.
Yeah.
And
cold kitchen. Because we at one point could be serving 250 people.
That's true.
Yeah, and we also do, you know, large weddings, and we even do outside catering. I mean, wedding halls all over New York State order food from us for outside catering.
Wow, I can imagine.
Sure.
So
our business is very exciting, but it's also very hard. There's a lot that goes on.
Oh, yeah.
Into running with Putin. It's a huge
job. So when
job.
In terms of like the food, I know that like I've gone to, writing about hotels and such, that they've had like a separate, like in a hotel they'll have a restaurant and they'll have a separate thing that deals with the catering.
Yeah.
And I said the same things on the menu, and they said no, because when you're catering, you have to consider that a tremendous amount of one particular thing is coming out.
That's right.
Versus somebody who's just ordering off a menu.
That's right.
So they have to consider what can they make that they can make in an abundance.
Yeah.
So that it'll all taste good.
Exactly. And also depends if we do outside catering, whether that facility has a kitchen or do we have to prepare food at our place and then bring it out to another facility. So there are a lot of factors go into it. So outside catering menu is customized.
So let me ask you a question. Gathering from the menu, it's non-kosher.
No, it's not.
It's not kosher. I looked at the first thing. It's not that you're mixing milk and meat. That's not the point. You can't. You know, catfish is not kosher. I was trying to explain.
We don't have pork though.
Yeah.
But
you don't have pork. I noticed that you don't have pork, but you do have like shrimp or catfish or things that are whatever.
But however, we do have kosher events.
That was a question I was going to ask. Can you have a separate facility for people?
What if a customer requests kosher catering in our venue? We just order food from a kosher establishment, and they kosher our kitchen. They bring a rabbi, and under rabbi's supervision, our kitchen becomes kosher.
For one night. Oh, okay. And I'm sure have you had to do that much?
Sure. I mean, especially on the weekdays. We have a large, Jewish community, Syrian Jewish community in our area. We have the Bukharian community in our area that eats mostly kosher. So on occasion, they do come out.
Have you done a lot of bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs?
Absolutely.
We're getting ready to own.
Yeah.
Our son is going to be bar mitzvah in a couple of months.
Really?
Yeah, we're working
in
July.
Ah, I did my bar mitzvah when I was 38, when I was 38.
Mazel tov.
And I got to read out of the Torah, too.
Nice.
Which is like, God forbid, a woman touches the Torah. But what I was curious about is whether you find that those that are having a bar or bat mitzvah, will they want it necessarily kosher?
Some do not. Some just request a kosher style menu.
Okay.
Of course, no pork. They may say no lobster, no shrimp, kosher style.
Oh, okay. Which is fine, because these are probably people that don't, eat like that when they, when they're eating out. They don't necessarily eat kosher. So,
It depends on one's religious affiliation. We don't judge what other customer wants. No problem.
Yeah.
We want vegetarian, we'll give you vegetarian. We don't discriminate.
Yeah, and I'm sure, some of the things I remembered, one particular thing, I don't know why this stands out, the potatoes with the mushrooms. Like, they were like French fries and mushrooms?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's roasted potatoes.
So there were roasted potatoes with a mushroom sauce? Is that what it was?
With mushrooms, actually.
It was actually mushrooms.
With mushrooms.
Russians love mushrooms. They put mushrooms everywhere.
Yeah.
What kind of mushrooms were they? They were really good.
I think he uses a mix of different mushrooms. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
It's usually it's a mix. He fries different kinds of them, and then he puts it on top of potatoes. He puts it in pierogies. He puts it in the stuffed quail. We really like our mushrooms. I mean, Russians traditionally always have mushrooms. They marinate the mushrooms, they fry the mushrooms, they put it in potatoes, in fish and meat, wherever they can put it in salads. We love our mushrooms. It was big in the old Russia.
Uh-huh.
Big delicacy, so yeah. With that still, we have the mushroom soup that everybody loves. Russians are big on mushrooms, definitely.
Oh, okay. I love mushrooms. But I don't like those, you know, regular normal American mushrooms. I think they're boring.
Yeah, he mixes different varieties, and he always puts it in the potatoes, and he always puts it in the pierogies, and he puts it in the stuffed quail. I mean, there is a bunch of dishes where he uses mushrooms, and it's very popular.
Now, what are some of your favorite dishes that you like?
I love the stuffed quail. I love lobster salad, tuna. Just pretty much half of the things
What's it stuffed with?
Oh, the stuffed quail is stuffed with foie gras, mushrooms, and rice, and it's absolutely delicious. It's one of the most delicious items on the menu, in my opinion. I also love the chicken Kiev, of course. That's a traditional Russian dish. The potatoes with mushrooms, different salads that we serve, the Russian things, the American things, like sear tuna, that's definitely American, but it's Asian, but now it's American. It's in every restaurant, so I like that as well. And also for every event, he can customize. If it's a private event, he'll customize for whatever the customer wants. For example, if you have a lot of kids in your event, you make a lot of kid-friendly food. If you want more clubby, you know, teenagers, if you have a sweet 16, he'll make for you, finger foods like chicken skewers, beef satay, whatever. He depends on the party.
Right.
He's flexible. He knows what he's working with. We have very good managers that are very experienced, and they'll work with the customer. They'll suggest what would work for you. If it's a bar mitzvah, this is what you need. If it's a wedding, you would go with that. Or if it's a sweet 16 and you have, 100 teenagers, then you should have definitely teenager-friendly things like I mentioned before, like the beef satay, chicken skewers, or whatever, different salads.
And mini burgers.
Mini burgers, exactly. He'll work with the customer.
Sure.
Depends on what you need. Not everybody gets the traditional menu. And even on our menu, you could always request a change. We're very flexible.
Yeah, substitutions are definitely allowed.
Well, let me ask you also about, in terms of the caviar, I mean, the caviar is Russian caviar? Is that, I mean...
Yeah.
Is it Russian? I'm not sure. These days, is it Russian anymore?
I'm wondering because there's
so
many types of caviar.
Is that Iranian?
It's definitely not from Iran. That we know.
Yeah, because there's so many types of caviar out there. I was just kind of wondering whether if it's Russian, you got to get it. Obviously, you're not taking the fish and getting the caviar from the fish.
It's already ready.
Huh?
We already buy it ready.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you, so if I came into the neighborhood, I mean, are there, would I be able to go, like, grocery stores? And I don't, obviously, I'm not going to get what you're cooking, but would I be able to get a lot of these items to cook,
Yeah, there are Russian supermarkets in the area where you can get authentic Russian food. They even have a lot of meats and cheeses imported from Russia.
Really?
Yeah.
And
quite interesting.
Yeah, I got to do that sometime. I'm starting to get bored with what I cook. I mean, not that, I keep trying to. I just I just took some celery root and I slaughtered it today. I'm making like coleslaw with it to try back.
Take a trip to Brighton Beach.
So it's a Brighton Beach area. Is there there a strip? Is there a strip to go to on a particular?
Yeah, Brighton Beach Avenue, the whole strip.
Oh, okay.
You would not believe you're in America.
Really?
All the store signs, the signage, the awnings, everything is in Russian. And you have your Russian bookstores, Russian food stores, Russian pharmacies, furs, diamonds, you name it.
So, but will they all, if I don't speak Russian, will they'll all understand me?
Well, if you have American dollars, they'll understand you.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I have to inject something. I got to tell you a funny story. At least this is what I was told. When on my father's side from Russia, they were coming over, you know, to the United States. And I guess this is the early 1900s when they came over. And apparently one uncle didn't know any English, nothing. And they were all coming in, instead of coming into Ellis Island, they were coming into Baltimore.
Really?
And he apparently what I got is that he saw a ship and it had the letter M on it. He saw the letter M thinking it was going to Maryland. So he boarded that ship, and it didn't go to Maryland. It went to Montevideo, Uruguay.
Wow. Oh, unbelievable. That's funny.
Yeah, so that's where they lived, and I think they all wound up, I think they're all in Israel now at this point, though. But
interesting. But our relatives were in New York, so we came to New York.
Uh-huh.
One relative pulled the other to come. You know, our relatives came here 10 years before us, and then we joined them.
Oh, okay, so you had relatives here already.
Yeah, some.
Oh, that's good. At least you knew somebody when you got here.
Absolutely.
You weren't a bunch of wandering Jews. You got here, you knew somebody.
Exactly. The first point, the first destination point was Brighton Beach. And then from there, you go to, you know, you branch out to other places. But that was the destination point. Like Ellis Island, in the beginning of the century, Brighton Beach was our Ellis Island.
Okay. That's really fabulous. So, now, just let me ask you, are you starting the renovations now?
We're in the midst of renovations. We have done already downstairs. We're doing the foyer within the next 2 weeks, and we're hoping by end of April we'll finish the whole restaurant. We're renovating inside, outside. We're adding more special effects to the stage. We're going to have a spectacular laser show. We're adding chandeliers with lighting effects in them. While doing that, we remain open.
That was the question I was going to ask.
Yeah, because we have so many parties booked and weddings, we can't let anybody down, we can't close. So we're renovating Monday through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking it one step at a time to make sure on the weekends we can operate.
Oh, that's good. Concerned about whether I needed to write about or tell people, like, they'll be closed for a little while. So you won't?
No. Not at all. Not at all. We're doing one area at a time, so renovation one area does not impact the other areas, and we're finishing that area that's under renovation by Friday.
Okay. So as you were saying before, are you now looking to expand? Is the first place you're looking at is Manhattan?
Yeah, absolutely. It has to be Manhattan, because once you're in Manhattan, you're in the capital of the world. And
right.
From there, you can already go to other places.
Yeah, that's true. It's interesting because when people, as I'm writing travel articles on meeting people, when they come to New York, they go to Manhattan, and they don't go to the other boroughs.
Okay, if you make it in Manhattan, you can make it anywhere. Let's put it this way.
This is true.
Our plans in the near future to open a second location in Manhattan. But it's been tough to find a place that would fit our concept. Because you've been to Rasputin, it's very large space with high ceilings, big stage, big dance floor. So
we're looking for something like that.
So far, I was not successful to find anything, but we're looking.
So you don't think, let's say, have you ever looked in Queens? I'm just curious.
We have not, because people from Queens come to Brooklyn. They come to us. And
once opening
Manhattan, then people will have a choice to go to Brooklyn or Manhattan.
Yeah, that's true. The reason I was thinking of Queens is because when people land here, when they, you know, when they're traveling, they land in Queens.
That's true.
The airport, you know,
that's true.
So straight from
the airport to Rasputin.
That's true. You can
we have a saying in Russian from
the ship to the ball.
From the ship to the ball.
Okay.
So same concept. From the airport straight to Rasputin. I like it.
All right. Well, I appreciate that you're talking with the two of you. I think it's fabulous. I just want to let people know that the Rasputin is located at 2670 Coney Island Avenue, and the telephone number is 718-332-8111, and you can also go to the website of www.rasputinny.com, and please wear a bib when you do, because you'll drool.
Mm-hmm.
I assure you.
Barbara,
so,
thanks for having us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure
to talk to you.
Yes, the same
here.
Come
back again.
Oh, yeah, I will. You know I have to.
I know
absolutely.
You will.
All right, have a great evening.
Thank you,
too.
Thank you. Take care, bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Yes, I have to definitely go there. Well, I have to eat now. I mean, that really had made me hungry. So I'm going to, I don't know what I'm doing next week. Right now I just need, all I need to do is eat. Oh, that was Eunice. I know, I understand. And they weren't happy about hearing about the chicken Kiev. That was I just wanted to interpret that. So, for everybody, have a great day, evening, morning, whatever you're doing. And if you're in New York, you really need to come on out there. Oh, yes, I'll be back. Well, now you know the place to go.